Amen. Amen. So as the video bumper said, we are beginning a new sermon series this week. Our next 4 weeks, we're going to be unpacking the awesome and wonderful and terrible and scary power of words. Amen? And so the title of today's message is this: Are Any Words Free? You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew 12. That's where we're going to be jumping off from. But in Matthew chapter 12, starting with verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, or as I like to say, bunch of snake babies. That's what it means. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Let's pray. Father, this morning, God, I pray, Father, that in every way, God, that we would get a glimpse of the power of our own words. Just as your word has shaped worlds, created worlds, shaped destinies, Father, in the same way, Lord, help us to see the power of our own word. And Father, may today, God, be a day, Lord, where we learn, Father, how to line our words with yours. It's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. How many of you parents have like ever made a commitment to your children, and you're so tired that you can barely stay awake, but because of the power of the feeling of guilt, you think, I can do it. I'll follow through, you know? And so this one particular day, that was kind of the start of this particular day. I had made a promise to Bethany that we were going to get a garden started. And so what we were going to do, she wanted two kinds of plants. She wanted a tomato plant, a little cherry tomato plant, because her brother loves to eat cherry tomatoes. And then the second kind of plant was the bell pepper plant. And so we make our way to Walmart, and we're going to go buy all of these starter plants. You know, they're already kind of grown, and they're labeled appropriately, okay? And, you know, people who are mostly awake would probably read the labels, you know. But that wasn't quite the scenario that took place. And so, we start the garden, and you know that tomato plant, man, it took off like some prolific beast. I mean, it made so many tomatoes, I'm going like, you start praying for that thing to die. I mean, because it was an awesome plant. It did really well. But then this bell pepper plant, well, it had some issues, so we thought. And so as that plant began to grow, all of these strange-looking, weird-looking peppers began to show up. And Bethany was convinced, well, they need to stay on the plant longer. You can't pluck them just yet. And I'm like, darling, those aren't bell peppers. These are like shriveled, yellowy looking. She goes, no, Dad, it will be a bell pepper. I promise you. So she went and got a bell pepper and held it up. See, it can grow into that. I'm like, no, baby, this isn't going to happen. And so we went back and forth, and sure enough, it's not a bell pepper. And we've been eating those peppers, and to this day, we still don't know what they are. But we're eating them nonetheless. And so here's the deal. So Jesus uses this metaphor talking about our heart being like a tree, and our words are like fruit, and that a tree is known by its fruit. See, you can know your heart today by what literally comes out of your mouth. That can be good news or bad news for you. But you can know your heart by what is coming out of your mouth. It's an inescapable truth. You can argue all that you want. You can lie. You can deny. But if it came out your mouth, it's pointing to your heart. Ouch. See, here's the deal. You hear people say, honey, I know that's what I said, but that's not really what's in my heart for you. My heart is in so much of a different place than what I just said. Somebody's lying. See, what happens is like, many times what comes out of our heart, we just don't want to admit that it's actually there. We don't want to confront maybe the evil that's there. And you're going, God, and you know how you say something and you go like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Ever been there before? And you're like squirming going, dear God, get me out of this. I bet this sermon probably feels a little bit this way right now. But it's inescapable. So the big idea this morning is this. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 6:2 says this. You are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. See, Satan's goal, he's like the master trap setter. And one of the things that he likes to do to snare your life is with your own words. He wants to trap your future, your potential, your children's future, and their potential. He wants to trap your life, their life, with your words. He can use your words to steal your future. He can use your words to break asunder your present. He gains access through our lives through our words. So here are three lies Satan uses to snare us. Number one, the right of free speech. By golly, that's American right. It's mine. You know how Texans, some of us Texas men, we don't really pronounce America. We say America, you know. It's American right, by golly. Free speech. And so that means I can say anything I want at any time, at any place, anywhere. Question. Fellas, how well does that work with your wife? Free speech ain't so free. You can say whatever, but it may not go well with you. See, there is a higher law than the American law, and it's called the kingdom of God. Words are not free. They are actually super duper extra expensive. As Jesus said in verse 37 of Matthew 12, he says this, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That doesn't look like free. That doesn't look like free words, does it? Matter of fact, that looks pretty scary. Number two lie. I'm only kidding. And this is painful to me personally because I literally said this three times this week. Confessions, all right? See, I can say anything as long as I add, I'm only kidding. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19 says this, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. That hurt, didn't it? Come on, Jesus. You see, what happens is I can communicate critical, opinionated, hurtful words as long as I tag it on with, just kidding, didn't mean it. I want to tell you that sarcasm has a way of cutting and destroying intimacy in relationships. That I was only joking. What we believe is that we can express opinions and judgments without consequence. That's just not true. As Jesus said in verse 35 of Matthew 12, this, an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Maybe there's more evil going on inside of here than we care to admit. Amen. Number three, lie. As soon as words are forgotten, their influence is gone. How many of you have ever heard, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's a lie. Words can actually last a lifetime. They don't disappear. Words can become labels, can become names that we live under or try to live up to or that we ultimately try to avoid. Words can become names that try to shape and define our future. See, words of anger, hurt, or criticism can literally create a living prison for us. I can't tell you how many people I've met with and I've counseled with who are trapped in some sort of bondage of their life. And by the time we begin to really unpack that and begin to, where did this whole thing actually begin? It was because a person in authority labeled them, called them a name. Dad called me this. Mom said this about me, said that I would never measure up. Said that I was a good for nothing. A teacher said, you're about as ignorant as the day is long. Words can last a lifetime. Then we think things like, well, I can say whatever, then I'll just ask for forgiveness and it'll be all okay. Hey, forgiveness doesn't fix everything. You can forgive, but you can still lose a lot in the process. And the reality of it is had some of us known how destructive our words can be, we wouldn't have been so reckless. We wouldn't have said what we said. See, insensitive words can be forgiven, but it doesn't always mean that things will ever go back to being the same. Forgiveness obviously restores us in Christ, but we still may suffer the effects of what was said in relationship. As Jesus said in verse 36 of Matthew 12, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Folks, I'm not going to explain that away. Just let that sit with you and ruminate on the words of Jesus. Anybody scared yet? Here's three truths of words. Number one, words reproduce generationally. James 3:6 says this, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Our words can release worlds of iniquity, releasing hell. Now, iniquities are generational sins. It's different than other sins. They're generational sins. It's sins that travel through the generations. For example, you might say it like this: Grandpa was a drunk, Dad was a drunk, now I'm a drunk. And so what happens is that sins get passed from generation to generation to generation, being destructive for decades in a family's life. And see, iniquities travel not just through the practices, but iniquities gain access through words. See, words help shape belief systems. Words formulate what we believe, how we interpret life, how we see things. And then because of those words, we set the seedbed for iniquity to continue throughout our life. Through words. See, but iniquities can get passed down from generation to generation, not just from words, but also the lack of words. I've heard this story time and time again. It sounds a little bit like this: Dad never said I love you. Because now, as a parent, that person has difficulty showing love to his own children. Happens over and over and over again. So just because you're the quiet type, you ain't getting out of this. Dallas Willard says this regarding children and the onslaught of words. This is what he says: their little souls, bodies, and minds cannot but absorb the reality of assault and withdrawal in a climate where their parents or other adults are constantly engaged in them. And of course, they are soon in the line of fire themselves. They soon are being attacked and frozen out. In such context, you can almost see the children shrivel. Their only hope of survival is to become hardened. Iniquities travel through the generations through our words or lack of words. Maybe we need to figure out how to take control of this tongue and begin to direct it and begin to say what he's saying. I can't tell you how important it is to gain a vision from God about who God says that your kid is and begin to say the same thing that he says about your kid. In that process, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to end up getting healed. You know why? Because you're going to start to see yourself the way God sees you. And there you begin to disarm iniquity in your life, in your family's life. Amen? Number two, words heal or hurt. Matthew 6:12 says this out of the Lord's Prayer: and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, I said earlier that forgiveness doesn't fix everything, but it is always the right response. Amen? It doesn't always fix everything, but it is the right response. And so whether you are a victim or the perpetrator, it doesn't matter. Forgiveness is the way forward. You may not be able to move forward with that individual, but if you want to be able to move forward with God, forgiveness is the way. Amen. Words of forgiveness can bring healing to your soul and to the people that are connected to you. Guys, I can't stress how much changing your vocabulary is. Proverbs 8:21 says this, "For death and life are in the power of the tongue." Our words are literally shaping death or shaping life. We wake up in the morning and say, "I'm so tired. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to work today. I'm so tired. I'm so aggravated." I'm telling you, you are establishing the course of your day. How about this? Mixing it with honesty. "God, I'm tired. And I don't want to get up today, but I'm going to believe you for the best day ever. I'm going to believe that you're going to lead my steps today." Now, you can't say that out loud and not get happy at some point in time. Number three, words are more powerful than we imagine. Check out this prophetic word to Jeremiah. It's out of chapter 1. One of my favorite few verses. Jeremiah 1, 9 and 10. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over nations and over kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant.'" Wow! God was going to put his words in Jeremiah's mouth to change and shape the course of history. To pull down, destroy, throw down, build and plant. Dude, I get excited about that. Here's the reality. Not many or if any of us are prophets in here, but here's the deal. With our words, we are either going to pull down, we're going to destroy, or we're going to build, or we're going to plant. I hope we are building what he's building today. Because with our words, we might be tearing down something that he's not tearing down. With our words today, we might be planting something that he's not planting. Our words are eternally powerful. And may, by the grace of God, may our words be building what he's building. Now, I can't preach a sermon like this without talking about Facebook. I really wish people understood the power of words. I really liked that quote by Abraham Lincoln when he said, "Better to remain silent and thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt." The truth is, all day long, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Psalm 19:14. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." I remember during mine and Aaron's engagement period, you know, one of the things that we do at Harvest is that if you get married, you got to go through premarital counseling. And so we went through premarital counseling, and one of the things that I discovered is one of her fears was the fear of harsh words or angry words. She had that fear. I, on the other hand, had no problem expressing my angry words. My heart, you know, you just look at me now today, you think, "Oh, that guy, he's just full of oodles of mercy. He's a sweetheart." It was not always that way, okay? But boy, I mean, you know, when the Apostle Paul talks about being the debater of this age, I can really connect to that because I feel like if I got in a debate, I know that I'm going to win, you know? And so, but I remember in this premarital counseling process that all of a sudden that became aware to me. I was aware of her fear. And I was worried about my mouth. But my premarital counselor, Mark Leach, was like, "Bro, you had better pay attention." And was like, "Okay, man, I'm paying attention." So whenever it came time for our wedding vows, Pastor Paul married us, and he used a really unusual passage for a wedding. And it was out of Hosea 2:14. And it was Hosea 2:14, and it says, "Therefore I will allure her into the wilderness, and I will speak kindly to her." And whenever I heard those words, I can't explain how I came to faith in that moment, but our vows, I came to faith about speaking kindly. That somehow or other, those words really sank in. Now, I can't say that I've been perfect all the years that we've been married, but what I can say is that I haven't called her a name. And I haven't raised my voice. And I want you to know that that's a miracle. But you see, what happens is I really believe God did a work in my heart. When I heard his word and I came to faith about it, he did something in me at that moment. That he did a work in my heart. Because I want you to know that that's not really achievable outside of the grace of God. I think. And here's what I think whenever it comes to our words. That it really is a heart issue. And that we need God to do a work in our heart. Because the words that are coming out of our mouth obviously are probably pointing to something that's already in our heart, but it's not in agreement with his. I have faith this morning for God to do a work in our hearts. I have faith this morning that through the word of God that is being preached and that from every open heart that is ready to receive, I really believe God wants to do a work today. But I also believe that sometimes we need God to kind of help us take us on a journey to do the hard work of getting these things uprooted and challenge the way we believe and challenge the way that we think and begin to move the way that we think, the way that we believe over to the way that he does. Amen? Are you tracking with me so far? And I think probably this morning that some of us need to extend some forgiveness for words that were spoken over us, from things that were said. "Well, Pastor, you don't know what they said." I really don't have to. I don't have to know what they said. I just know if that what they said is keeping you in prison, the way that you go free is through forgiveness. Amen? And some of us, I think because of some of the things that we said, we need to receive forgiveness. We need to be a recipient of forgiveness. Because receiving forgiveness is also the way forward, amen? Ever feel like there's a wall in front of you that won't move? A wall that's in front of you that you just can't get over, you can't get past? Sometimes it has to deal with forgiveness. Amen? Let's all stand. If our altar team would come. I really believe that God is wanting just to restore hearts, extend forgiveness, restore relationships right now. And here's the thing, just as on the day of my wedding vows, how it changed my heart, I really believe that some of us, we can come to faith right now. We can come to faith right now, and God can change our directory, the path that we're going down with our words. Prayer changes things, and this is a house of prayer. This is the place where we receive and give prayer. And these altars are open for anybody who's ready to deal with their heart today regarding the words that are coming out of their mouth. I'm going to pray for you, then I want you just to come immediately. Amen? Without hesitation. Jason's going to be playing a song. But if you need prayer today, if you need some confession, you need to get something off of your chest today, today's the day. Amen? Father, I thank you, God, for the families that are here, God, for the individuals that are here, God. And Lord, that it's not by accident that any of us are here, God, but this is a word, God, that we all, Lord, stand in need of. And God, in the places, Lord, where our words have created a breach in relationship, Father, I pray, God, that we would make a good choice. That we would make a good choice and get restored today, God. Lord, I just pray, God, your goodness over these families, Lord. And Father, empower us, Father, to the place where we say what you say. Lord, may the words in our mouth be like yours, God. Thank you, Father. Shape us and mold us today, God, according to your word. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray today. Amen.